Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And opposition to the bailout plan is also coming from outside the Beltway. This week, over 100 academic economists signed a letter to Congress asking Congress to reconsider, saying the plan is a subsidy to investors at taxpayers' expense. Jeffrey Miron is among those who signed. He is a Harvard University economist, and he comes to us from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why is the bailout a bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea for two reasons. First of all, the basic situation, while serious, is not catastrophic, and if left to work itself out on its own, would lead to moderate costs and disruptions, but not catastrophe. So I don't think that we have a situation that calls for drastic action. Second, the bailout will do a couple of really bad things. First, it will transfer a huge amount of money from the taxpayers generally to people who made risky bets. That is, they issued all these securities and bought all these securities, which were highly risky, and it turned out, you know, not to be as valuable as they thought. So the bailout just pays them for having taken this huge bet and lost, but that's insane. That's a crazy kind of economic policy. We don't want to compensate people for taking excessive risk. That encourages the wrong kind of behavior in the economy. So it's two-pronged. One, the problem is not as bad as it's being made out to be, and two, this is a huge transfer in an inappropriate way.
What about the issue of ambiguity? That was highlighted also in that letter.
The ambiguity of what exactly this bailout plan is going to do, that's a really important point. There are so many details that nobody has thought through. There's so much potential for unintended consequences, for the amounts to be adjusted, for the kind of securities that are bought to be different than what's being described, for companies involved to strategically move their assets around, reshuffle things, engage in all sorts of accounting gimmickry so that they get to sell off whatever it is they don't want, completely independent of what makes good sense for the government to buy.
And so then what do you make of President Bush's argument that unless action is taken of this nature, then, I don't know, Armageddon?
I just think that it's an assertion that's not based on past experience or evidence. There's reason to think that first of all, what will happen is some of these companies will go bankrupt. But bankruptcy doesn't mean that a company ceases to exist. It means that it becomes owned by its creditors rather than being owned by its shareholders.
Well, Jeffrey, would you advocate in that regard maybe relaxation of capital rules for banks so that maybe they wouldn't have to put up capital to back these toxic securities and could survive, even though on paper they're looking pretty grim?
Yes, I think that actually makes some sense, and I don't think the capital requirements necessarily made good sense in the first place, so I would be happy to endorse loosening that and let the market decide, okay, what level of capital requirements is appropriate if they're going to be willing to hold the stock of such companies. And if they don't like those low levels of capital, then again, the companies will be forced into bankruptcy, but they will then continue to operate for the most part, but they'll be owned by different people, by their creditors rather than the stockholders, but they will continue to do a lot of what they currently do. So the notion that all mortgage lending will just cease seems to be a huge exaggeration. There will be some disruption, no doubt. There may be some slowdown. There may be a recession. But I think that that's far less than the Armageddon that people are trying to talk about. And it's far less serious than the negative consequences of getting the government involved in owning a huge fraction of one of the most important sectors of the economy.
Jeffrey, what do you make of this piece that was in the Journal yesterday? And, you know, we've heard reports of this all week of finance ministers all around the world saying, oh, look at you, America, you free marketeers, la, la, la. Now you're going to intervene bigger than we ever did before. What do you make of that?
Well, I think in a sense they have a good point. First of all, we haven't been free marketeers in this sector in several very important ways. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were government-sponsored enterprises. They were empowered by government to do something very specific, to try to expand home ownership beyond the level that made good economic sense, and especially in the last 10 years or so, have extended a huge amount of subprime debt. What is that subprime debt? It means loans to borrowers who had terrible credit histories, and that came from government pressure on Fannie and Freddie. That's not free market economics. That is a huge amount of government intervention. So on the one hand, we haven't been practicing free market capitalism,
right,
but certainly they're right to make fun of us because we're getting bad results from
the nananas will continue.
Jeffrey Miron, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jeffrey Miron is a Harvard University economist opposed to the bailout plan being discussed, debated heatedly in Washington.